So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If I haven't met you yet, my name is Michael Richmond. I'm the ministry apprentice here at Cornerstone. And today we are continuing our sermon series on Ephesians and looking today at chapter 3, verses 14 and 21. In today's passage, we have a prayer from Paul. His prayer is that Ephesus will be strengthened by Christ. And it is my prayer today that all of us here would be strengthened by Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray for this morning's service. Lord, please be with us now. Teach us, Lord, from your word. Lord, I pray that you will be with me. Help me to speak clearly and powerfully. And Lord, I pray ultimately that you would be working in our lives this morning and strengthening each of us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have often been told ministry life isn't a sprint. Rather, it's a marathon. And I think to myself sometimes, isn't that the Christian life? That the life of a Christian is like one long marathon? You ever feel like you've been running a marathon? Feel like sometimes the race is going well, but at other times feeling that it's been dragging on for ages and longing for that finish line? It is during these moments when the race is feeling difficult that we need encouragement. We need something that will carry us through. Within a marathon, a runner can usually get encouragement and some sustenance at the various checkpoints. At these checkpoints, they may receive the encouragement and cheers from family, friends, and spectators. They may receive the much-needed reprieve of a drink of water, a sports drink, or some sort of sugar hit. And in our Christian marathon, we receive these encouragers also. The encouragement and sustenance we get from coming to church, reading God's word, and fellowshipping with other Christians. And a big one, which our passage addresses today, the continual strength, encouragement, and sustenance we receive from Christ. It is Paul's prayer that we would be strengthened and receive this encouragement. Please have your Bibles open today to today's passage, looking at chapter 3 and verses 14 and 21. When we open our Bibles and turn to this passage, what do we see? Do we see Paul jumping straight into prayer? No. We find Paul on his knees, reading from verses 14 and 15. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. When I read these two verses, I immediately ask, why is Paul kneeling? What is the reason? From our passage, we read, for this reason. Again, what is this reason? Let's quickly recap what has been happening up to this point. In chapter 1, we looked at how we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ, and how Paul is praying for us that we grab and take hold of these blessings. In chapter 2, we looked at how we were dead in our transgressions, whereby we were living for the gratification of self, and were at this point under the wrath of God. But by the grace of God, his undeserved kindness, we were redeemed through the blood of Christ. And last week, we looked at how through Christ, even us, Gentiles, those that weren't part of the covenant made with Israel, were brought near to Christ. We were brought near by his blood, through Christ dying for us, so that we may too share in the blessings of Christ. And through Christ, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God the Father with freedom and confidence. It is for this reason we find Paul kneeling before the Father in reverence and praise for the blessings which he has poured out on us so generously through Christ. But I find a great reason for Paul kneeling before the Father comes especially from verse 15, where it says, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Highlighting that it is because of Christ that we, Gentiles, may too call God Father. that we may too share all the blessings of being in Christ. A big reason for the Apostle Paul to be kneeling before the Father in praise and reverence. It is from this position that Paul comes to God in prayer. In praise and reverence. And then he begins to pray. And what is Paul praying for? Paul is praying for the church. And not just the church in Ephesus. The letter from Paul to the Ephesians was not intended for the Ephesians individually. But it's something directed to all the church. It's for all of us. It's for Cornerstone Church. It's for our church also. But again, I ask, what is Paul praying for? Paul is praying that the church will be strengthened spiritually. And today we'll be examining Paul's prayer and looking at how Paul is praying for the church to be strengthened through the following 3 points. So our first point, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Our second point, we are strengthened by God's love. And our third point, we are strengthened by the fullness of God. It's in verse 16 we then see the beginning of Paul's prayer and the first of our 3 points. That we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Please read with me verses 16 and 17a. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What is Paul praying for here exactly? We may think to ourselves, didn't I get all this when I first became a Christian? Ephesians 1 verse 13 told me that when Christ saved me, he marked me with a seal, that I received the promised Holy Spirit. Why is then Paul praying for something that I already have? What is Paul praying for? Paul is praying that we may be strengthened, that is, continually strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner being, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us in our inner self, our heart, our mind, our spirit. And with what? With power. And what is this power? Power from God's glorious riches, God's grace and mercy, that we would be strengthened with God's grace and mercy. In the marathon known as the Christian life, we need our inner being to be strengthened. We need to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Marathons aren't easy events. A run over 42 kilometers is not something everyone can do. I can't imagine a lot of us could do that task. So how are we meant to do the Christian marathon? We can do it because Christ strengthens us. And Paul is praying that we would be strengthened in our inner being by the Holy Spirit continually strengthening us. And how is this being done? Through the Holy Spirit empowering us in our inner being, so that we may have the strength to run the race, that we would receive a high degree of grace and spiritual abilities for doing the work Christ has given us, that we would be able to resist the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and also by being strengthened, endure persecution, and much, much more. And also, we are strengthened in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Again, we may ask at this point, wasn't Christ already in me at the point of conversion? Again, Paul isn't praying that Christ would enter our hearts, but that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. And when Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, he is transforming our lives from the inside out. In the Old Testament, we are told that the redemption of Israel includes being given a new heart and receiving a new spirit, which can be found both in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. From Ezekiel chapter 36, from verses 26 and 27, we can read, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Cornerstone. When Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, If we never let go of Him, He will give us strength. Because we aren't doing the work, but it is rather Christ who is working in us, giving us the means and knowledge to persevere in this race that we are on. Christ who dwells in our hearts by faith is giving us the strength to run this marathon. Paul is praying that we'll be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit, empowering us in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. The question then is, why do we need to be strengthened? Why do we need this power? We answer this as we come to our second point. Our second point, that we are strengthened by God's love. Reading from verses 17b to 19b. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Paul is praying that we would be rooted and established in love. But I ask, what kind of love is Paul praying that we would be rooted and established in? In the Greek, the word love is known as agape love, meaning a love that shows faithfulness, kindness, and compassion. It's the kind of love that was shown to us when Christ died on the cross for us. But then I ask, is Paul praying that we be rooted and established in faithfulness, compassion, and kindness, and loving those around us? Or is he praying that we be rooted and established in faithfulness, compassion, and kindness, and love towards God? Or is he praying that we be rooted and established in compassion, faithfulness, and kindness of the love of God towards us? If we were to read on to verse 18, it says, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, Paul is praying that we be rooted and established in the love of Christ. To be established means that we'd be founded or built on the love of Christ. To be rooted is to have our roots firmly implanted within the soil, that we would be implanted in the love of Christ. Imagine a house's foundation. A house isn't just built on firm soil. It is built on a strong foundation of concrete or footings, sometimes dug deep into the soil. This foundation is built to stabilize the huge structure. Or imagine a plant's roots. A plant isn't just sitting on top of the soil. No, it has roots which can be found deep in the soil. Weeding the garden is something we can all be familiar with. And at some point we have come across weeds which have proved to be a struggle to pull out. Roots which are embedded and grounded in the soil. For instance, Paul is praying that our faith will be rooted and established in the love of Christ. Something that isn't easily shifted or pulled out. Paul is praying that the church's faith be implanted and grounded in the love of Christ. What does this mean? That our faith would be built on what Christ has done for us. That our faith would be rooted in the gospel. That we would be grounded in the knowledge that Christ died and came for sinners. Paul then prays that being rooted and established in this love, we would have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Do you see what Paul is praying for? He is praying that being rooted and established in the love of Christ, we would have power. And power for what? To grasp the extent of God's love. From the beginning of Ephesians, we are shown a great extent of God's love for Christians, both of which were Jew and Gentile. And Paul is praying that we may be able to grasp this love, that the church may be able to learn and know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that this is a love that surpasses knowledge. That you and I, being rooted and established in the love of Christ, we are able to fully realize the love of Christ for us. And where do we see this love displayed most? Where do we see it most clearly displayed? On the cross. On the cross we see God's love for us. That He sent His only Son to be hung on a cross for us. Brothers and sisters, that's Christ's love for us. May God reveal in me, may He reveal in you what it means to be a son or daughter of God. What it means to be alive in Christ. What it means to have our sins washed by the blood of Christ. What it means to be able to approach God with freedom and confidence for what Christ has done for us. We can now so clearly see why Paul cannot help himself to bow before the Father in praise and reverence. It is truly amazing what Christ has done for us. But Paul isn't done yet. His prayer is not yet finished. Let's come to our third point, shall we? Our third point. We are strengthened by the fullness of God. Paul is praying in verse 19 that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Brothers and sisters, it is here that we see the climax of Paul's prayer. It is the greatest encouragement that you and I can receive in the marathon known as the Christian life. Paul prays that we will receive strength. That the Spirit would give us power in our inner being, so that Christ would be dwelling in our hearts through faith. And by Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, we'll be rooted and established in the love of Christ. So that we may be filled to the fullness of God. To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Brothers and sisters, that is the climax of Paul's prayer. But what does this mean? What does it mean to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? One commentator suggests that to be filled to the fullness of God is to be transformed to be like God. Not that we would become God, but that we would be made holy and pure like our Heavenly Father. This is sanctification, the process by which the Holy Spirit enables believers to lead holy lives, to be conformed to His likeness. Paul prays that we will be made holy and pure, that we would be transformed into a child of God, no longer acting like a child of the devil who was dead in their transgressions, but being made into a child of God, being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. For some of us, this process has just started. And for others, this process has been going for some time and will keep going. But whoever we are, if we are in Christ, our Heavenly Father will continue to transform us. Paul is praying for nothing less than the very best encouragement God can give us. Then we would be filled, that we would be filled with all the spiritual blessings of God. Life, strength, love, holiness. And that we would be filled with all those spiritual blessings to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that great encouragement? Paul is praying for the church to be strengthened. Isn't that an awesome prayer? Paul is praying that the church may be strengthened. Strengthened and empowered by the work of the Holy Spirit. Strengthened and encouraged through the indwelling work of Christ. Strengthened and encouraged through establishing and rooting the church in the love of Christ. And strengthening and encouraging the church by being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Brothers and sisters, we should be desiring this. Praying for this. We should be praying for the church. Praying that the church will be encouraged and strengthened by the work of Christ. Be praying for our brothers and sisters that are feeling discouraged or feel that the race is too tough and maybe even close to giving up. Pray for them. and pray that they will be strengthened and encouraged. We pray for the church that all the saints may know what Christ is doing for them in their lives. That we all may know how deep and wide and high and long is the love of Christ for His church. And brothers and sisters, keep praying for those that do not know Christ. I know there are some here who have rejected God. Be praying for them also, that they may too know what it means to be able to approach the Father with confidence and freedom. To know what it means to not be under His wrath, but to be a loved son or daughter. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul's prayer for the church. What a prayer! What an amazing prayer! But it doesn't stop here. Paul then ends with this benediction, reading from verses 20 and 21. Now to Him, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul has just prayed for strength and encouragement for the church. Paul prays such a powerful prayer. And then he says this, that God will do more. That God will do more. God will do more than all we ask or imagine. I feel at this point a sense of awe. That despite Paul's prayer, our Heavenly Father will do more. More than we ask for or imagine. How awesome is that? God will do more than we ask or imagine. Paul then says, because of what God has done and is continuing to do, to Him be all the glory. Cornerstone, praise God for what He's doing in our lives. Praise God for what He's doing in Cornerstone Church. Praise God with all the saints for what He is doing in His church. I ask myself at this point, how can we be surprised that the Apostle Paul is on his knees in praise and reverence? Brothers and sisters, the Christian life can feel like a marathon. And at times we can feel that the race is too tough. But know this. We have an amazing God that gives us the ultimate encouragement needed to run and to finish the marathon known as the Christian life. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage. Thank You, Father, for how You encourage us and strengthen us through Christ. Father, I pray for those of us here who are struggling. Please be with them. Lord, give them what they need. Give us all what we need to be able to run this race that we're on. Father, thank You for the strength and encouragement You have given each of us. To You be the praise and the glory. Amen.